advance, and payday loans with interest rates that can range from 200% to 800%. People who fail to understand the economics behind these small loans with their short repayment periods and high fees inevitably pay a high price they can ill afford. Short-term financial solutions often turn into long-term debt, especially during the holidays when emotions and finances make a volatile mix. According to the Center for Responsible Lending, 90% of the payday industry's customers are people who have taken out five or more such loans per year. That means that 90% of the people taking out these short-term loans find out they can't repay the loan and then borrow again. It's a vicious cycle that puts people deep in debt. It destroys families, it increases bankruptcies, and it weakens communities. I will call your attention to the handout that was passed out. 13 states either outright ban payday lenders or they cap the interest rate at 36% or less. Three other states have bills working their way through to cap through the legislature to cap rates at the same rate that we are proposing in this bill. We chose 36% because the Department of Defense has asked Congress to cap payday loan rates to active duty military personnel or their families to 36%. Congress did that, and the law went into effect in October of 2007. And I don't see Ms. Harrison. I think she was going to have a video to show. But I think I will turn it over to Erin Anderson, who will testify also on the bill.
Ms. Anderson, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Erin Anderson. I'm with Minnesota Acorn, and we support Senator Higgins' bill that caps the rates for payday loans at 36%. There's 3 points that I'd like to make today. The first is that we chose the 36% figure because the Department of Defense asked Congress to reduce the APR on payday loans to military personnel and their families to 36%. We have in your packets an excerpt from the federal rulemaking where the Department of Defense characterized payday loans as predatory. You will hear our opponents tell you that payday loans to active duty military personnel have dried up since the passage of the law. I'm sure that the payday lenders made the same arguments to Congress that you will hear in just a few minutes, that they will go away if this bill is passed. Well, neither the Department of Defense nor the United States Congress nor the President of the United States seem to care, as the bill is now the law of the land. People are better off without payday lending. Most importantly, we believe that the soldier who is protected while on active duty should be entitled to the same protections when he or she is discharged and becomes a veteran. And in fact, all Minnesotans should be entitled to the same protections. The second point I'd like to make is that you will hear that closing payday lenders down will drive borrowers to the underground economy and to internet lenders. I draw your attention to the materials in your packet. You will find an executive summary by the North Carolina Banking Commissioner called North Carolina Consumers After Payday Lending. North Carolina shut the industry down, and this report shows that payday lenders' claims are unfounded. The Banking Commission found the absence of payday lenders had no significant impact on the availability of credit for households in North Carolina. Borrowers said payday loans were bad, and the absence of payday lenders has had a positive rather than a negative effect on their lives. Borrowers went to friends, relatives, less expensive forms of credit, and actually started talking to their creditors. You will also find in your packets that a series of editorials from newspapers in states looking to also cap payday rates at 36% supporting the proposal. I draw your attention in particularly to the Washington Post editorial entitled "Payday Parasite." The third and final point I'd like to make is that you will hear from the payday lenders that you can't apply APR to a two-week loan. That might be right if borrowers just took out one loan. But the facts do not support that borrowers take one loan and don't come back. I draw your attention to the Columbus Dispatch story in your packets, in which a payday lending industry whistleblower reveals what the industry is all about. He says, and I quote, "We train our sales staff to keep customers dependent, to make sure they keep reborrowing forever if possible." According to the Center for Responsible Lending report, also in your packet, 24% of borrowers take 21 or more loans each year, 60% of borrowers take 12 or more loans each year, and 90% of borrowers take 5 or more loans each year. The average is 9 loans. When you acknowledge that borrowers in real life have a long-term relationship with these lenders, an APR calculation is perfectly applicable. And we also submitted testimony from one of our members to your packets. He wanted to be able to testify here today, but unfortunately wasn't able to make it. So if you could take a minute to read that testimony, it would also be good. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Anderson. Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, when last fall, I ran a presentation at the Midwest Council of State Governments annual meeting on the predatory lending bills that we had passed in Minnesota last year, which has given us the toughest predatory lending laws in the nation. And I was really fascinated because legislator after legislator came in and said, "This is really good stuff, but what are we going to do about the payday lenders? What are we going to do about these people who go after the Native American folks and the people, other people of color, and especially the military folks?" And so there's a problem, and I think that we would all be better off if Minnesota didn't fall into the depths of where other states have gone. And at this point, I don't know who else is going to testify, so we'll just I'll turn it back to you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Scogin, did you have a comment?
Mr. Chair,
Senator
Scogin. Senator Higgins or Ms. Anderson. Maybe I won't ask you a personal question. Do you feel that payday lenders fall under predatory lending rules and regulations?
Mr. Chair,
Senator
and Senator Scogin, they don't fall under the laws that we changed last year because they were all in the kind of the mortgage end of lending. But the actions that they do and the rates that they charge, I believe seriously, are predatory.
Ms. Anderson,
Senator Scogin.
Mr. Thank you. You mentioned the law of the land federally and regarding military personnel. And you made kind of a statement. Did military payday lending dry up when they went to a 36% APR?
Ms. Anderson?
I don't know the answer to that question. I'm sure somebody else here will be able to do it.
Senator Scogin.
Ms. Anderson, you cited, I think, North Carolina. Do we have those kind of numbers for Minnesota, including the ethnic? I think Native Americans were mentioned. I think other minorities were mentioned. And I was just curious if we had those kind of numbers for Minnesota.
Ms. Anderson?
Mr. Chair, I don't believe so, but perhaps Mr. Elwood might be able to answer that. Do you know?
Oops, careful. Sorry.
Mr. Elwood.
Thank you, Mr. Elwood. I understand that we had some statistics or some examples, and I was just wondering if we had those for the state of Minnesota.
Mr. Elwood?
Mr. Chair, Senator Scogin, are you asking if we have statistics on numbers of loans or on the could you just clarify what you're looking for?
I may have to go back to Ms. Anderson, if you will,
okay,
Mr.
Senator
Chair.
Scogin,
just your reference to North Carolina was regarding...
They're pretty close.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. Then I understand what you're saying.
Mr. Elwood.
Mr. Chair and Senator Scogin, the North Carolina study... North Carolina shut down the industry. And so, of course, we haven't shut down the industry, so there are no similar, we can't make the same comparisons. But the North Carolina study was a commissioner of banking, the commissioner of banking, and it was a survey of customers, and it's essentially what the customers' beliefs were following the exodus of the payday lenders from the state. And the primary findings were that people found better alternatives to deal with their debt problems, including actually things like talking to their creditors, finding working with their friends and relatives and finding the money rather than the payday lender. I believe one of the results were that 9 out of 10 borrowers they surveyed felt they were better off without the payday lending industry in the state, and that as a net, just on balance, the study was very clear to say that the state, essentially, nobody missed them. That was the long and short of the story.
Okay. Senator Scogin, I think you bring up a good point. I think there's a couple different sections of laws that we deal with regarding this, the industrial thrift and loan provisions, and then some of Senator Higgins' predatory lending provisions. I think we'll probably get into that more as we move along, but thank you very much. Senator Higgins, do you have anything further to add at this time? Oops, Senator Prettner-Solem before that.
Well, I'm Mr. Chair and Senator Higgins, I don't profess to know very much about this issue at all, but I have talked to actually people in my district. And I don't even know if there's payday lending in my district, quite frankly. But what I have heard is that there are people who use it, and I've heard that if it isn't available, then the cost that the banks charge to when they have overdrafts and fees are higher than what they would pay for payday lending. And so I have heard that there actually is a need for this type of thing to help low-income people particularly make it through sometimes payday to payday, especially in times of high stress when there's unusual financial need.
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, Senator Solon, the way I understand it is if you could just borrow the money and pay it back at the first payday, then I think that, you know, that circumstance that you talked about would be correct.
Okay.
But I think that most people aren't able to buy it and buy it back at that first date that it's due, and so it rolls over, and then the interest rate gets higher and higher and higher and higher up into the hundreds of percent. And that's the behavior that we seek to ban here.
Senator Metzen, then Senator Scogin. Senator Metzen.
I nobody likes to pay these high rates, but I just don't know where these people are going to go. I mean, for a credit union or a bank to do a $600 deal or $400, it's about $92 to write one up just to get it on the books for them, you know. So, hate to say it, but they don't make them, you know. And so I'm not so sure where these people in North Carolina, where they ended up going to get that $400 or $500 when their engine kicked out in their car and they needed that to get to work for the next week. So, and, you know, I'd like to cap interest rates at 4% if we could, you know, but it's just not in the cards, and that's not the economy, and I don't know where these folks. We could be doing some people a disservice, too. So where are they going to go? And maybe somebody can answer the question that at North Carolina, if they quit doing those these kinds of loans, where those people went to get that short-term $500.
Senator Prettner-Solem.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Higgins, is there a reason they can't pay it back at the first payment due date? Because I agree with you. I don't think that people should get locked into a system where they are paying fees that they can't afford. But I also can see that there may be a need for a small short-term loan to get through. And I'm just wondering, is there a reason? Is there something in the lending laws or in the practices that prevent them? Or is it just because they don't have the funds? Why is it they can't pay it back at the at the first payment too.
Senator Higgins?
Mr. Chair, Senator Solon, a payday loan is set up so that it is due the next payday. And if you have already made payments out of your next loan or your next paycheck, your rent, for example, all those kinds of things, you may find yourself without enough to pay back that loan, in which case you roll it over, and then your interest rates start to go. So it's a spiral that happens.
Mr. Chair, yeah, and I'm not certain that person has bigger problems. I'm thinking of a situation where all of a sudden somebody who's making it on paycheck to paycheck and the brakes go on the car and they didn't anticipate it because one of the children got sick and had to go to the doctor a couple of times and there were extra prescriptions. And so they needed a little lift to get through to the next payday and had to take out, you know, a portion of that, 20% of their paycheck or something. Or otherwise, they could write checks that are going to get...
They're going to bounce.
They're going to bounce. They're going to get fines on it. And it's just going to add up. It's going to be worse than the payday loan.
Senator Scogin, and then members, this is very important, and I think we want to make sure we ask questions, but we do have quite a few people that want to testify, too. So, I mean, that's okay, Senator Scogin. I want to make sure. I think that's why we're having this hearing tonight, because we do, and all the questions have been raised so far, very good ones. So that's what we're trying to air this out. So, Senator Scogin, go ahead.
Well, I would like to talk to somebody about how they work, the default rate, some of those things. So
all right.
Maybe we'll get that in our next round of testifying.
And Mr. Chair.
Senator Higgins.
I know Senator Pappas's bill takes a different attack to it. So what you may want to do is have her present her bill at this time, because I suspect that most of the people who are testifying on the bill affects the other bill as well. So you may want to hear what Senator Pappas has to say and then have everybody come and testify, because they'll be, in effect, testifying for or against both bills.
That. Senator Higgins, I think that's a good idea. Do committee members agree that that might be a good way to go? We'll hear Senator Pappas' bill, and then we can hear from the opponents after that time. Okay. Thank you very much, Senator Higgins. And with that, we'd ask Senator Pappas to come forward with her Senate file 3197. Thank you, Senator Higgins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to state outright, and my witnesses can certainly join me up here, that we're not trying to shut down the payday industry. We do think that they do serve a purpose. But what we do want to do is make sure that they offer loans under the Consumer Small Loan Statute, which was designed in 1995 to address that particular industry. And it turns out that there's a loophole in the law that some payday lenders have found. And so what this bill does, two main things. It closes the loophole that payday lenders have discovered, which allows them to evade the loan and cap fees under the law we passed in 1995 to govern this very transaction. And it also gives borrowers the tool that they need to avoid falling into the debt trap, where they're constantly reborrowing to pay off the previous loan. And that's the most troublesome aspect of this type of lending, because that's when the fees and the interest rates really mount up. The industrial loan and thrift statutes, which some payday lenders are loaning under, were never designed for payday lending. That's why we passed the Consumer Small Loan Act. Under the loophole, payday lenders can extract five times more in fees than they can under the payday law. They can lend without any cap on the amount, and if they structure the transaction as an open-end line of credit, they can charge an additional $50 in annual fee. So, for example, for the very same $100 loan, they can get 390% APR under the Consumer Loan Small Loan Act, 47.60, but under the Industrial Loan and Thrift Act, they can get 685% APR. So what does the borrower get for the additional 295% in interest he's paying? Nothing. It's exactly the same transaction. Is it legal? Yes. Is it a blatant circumvention of our laws? Yes. Does it violate the very spirit of our laws? Yes. And should it be stopped? Absolutely. This industry has decided to play fast and loose with our laws. It's clever, but it isn't right. We need to close the loophole they found to do under Section 4759, the Industrial Loan and Thrift Act, what they're prohibited from doing under 4760, the Consumer Small Loan Act, and we need to give people a lifeline in these hard economic times instead of falling further and further behind and sinking into the never-ending cycle of debt. And Mr. Chairman, I'd like to introduce Ron Elwood, the staff attorney with Legal Aid, who's going to be my first witness.
Thank you, Senator Pappas. Mr. Elwood, welcome to the committee again.
Thank you again, Mr. Chair. Ron Elwood, Legal Aid. Before I begin, I would like to respond. Senator Scogin, you had asked about the default rate, and I could tell you that I've looked at the Department of Commerce collects statistics from the payday lenders. Even though the law was passed in 1995, they've started collecting statistics in 1999, and I looked at them every single year. And I think, in fact, I'm the only one that actually has. Not sure that actually the staff of the Department of Commerce actually looked at them. But I would tell you that there have been, since 1999, there have been over 1 million payday loans in Minnesota. The cumulative default rate as a percentage of those loans is 1.5%. And I would draw your attention to an article in this week's Newsweek that the defaults on credit card debt has risen in December 7.6%. So just make that as a comparison. Be happy to answer any more questions on that if you'd like. But
before you continue, yeah. Senator Solon, Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, Senator Solon, we did have some statistics on Duluth. And in 2001, there were 9 payday loans in Duluth. In 2006, there were 2,874 for a cumulative total of 8,051. So they are happening in your district.
Mr. Elwood, are you going to continue?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Scogin, did you have a question?
No. Thank you for bringing that statistic.
And Mr. Chair, members, this industry in Minnesota has experienced explosive growth from its inception till today. If you look at the chart to my left, your far left, your far right, you'll see that in 1999 there were 4,700 loans. The loans peaked in 2004 at 241,000 and leveled off somewhat to last year at 187,000. There's a correlation, I think, between the lenders finding the loophole. I believe they've lent higher amounts to fewer people, as well as I think you're experiencing the effects of people taking money out of their home equities. And, of course, we've seen what has happened to that. My supposition is that you will see payday lending explode even further now over the next couple of years. Under the loophole that Senator Pappas pointed out, where these lenders have figured out a way to move under a different statute and do the same thing they can't do under the Small Loan Act in this other statute, in 2006, we have come to a situation where 7 out of every 10 payday loans being made in Minnesota are not being made under the statute that you passed in 1995 to govern this transaction. And in your packets, you have a comparison of the APR. Senator Pappas made one at $100. It's 390% under the Small Loan Act, and it's 685 under the loophole.
Mr. Elwood, how long is the term of that loan, the two examples that you just gave us?
Mr. Chair, that's a 2-week loan, and what I would submit to you is that if, in fact, the borrower took one single loan, you would not be seeing us here today, because you cannot apply an APR to one 2-week loan. However, 25% of borrowers take 21 or more loans per year. 60% of borrowers take 12 or more loans per year. 90% of borrowers take 6 or 5 or more a year. That is from the Center for Responsible Lending. Those are not Minnesota statistics because, unfortunately, we don't collect that. In this bill, I would point out that we are asking the Department of Commerce to collect those very statistics. However, in state after state after state that does collect those statistics, it's incredibly comparable. They're all the same. So the majority of people, the vast majority of people, have long-term, six-month, annual relationships with the lenders. When you have a loan every month for 12 months, I would say an APR is perfectly appropriate to apply. The lenders, you're going to hear, are going to assert that they cannot lend under 4760. Well, the facts just contradict that assertion. If you look at the chart to my immediate left, you will see Payday America, which is the largest lender, has 60% of the market share in Minnesota, made 104,000 loans last year. This is the growth in their lending before they discovered the loophole. I would submit to you that looking at this, it doesn't seem that they've had any trouble making loans under the old law. I would also submit to you that there are 24 licensees in Minnesota to do payday lending. 20 out of the 24 are still in business, and all 20 of the 24 are lending under 4760 because they're not big enough to become an industrial loan and thrift and move under the loophole. So what it's a little bit mysterious to me as to how this amazing growth took place under the old law, but now we can't lend under the old law anymore. As we pointed out, these loans are a debt trap. In your packet, you will see an article from Jane Bryan Quinn, Newsweek, headline reading, "Payday Loans Can Be a Trap." I don't think anybody would disagree, even the industry probably, that they can be a problem. And the second aspect of our bill provides for a repayment plan so that folks don't have to take loan after loan after loan after loan. Somebody asked earlier, why can't they pay it? I think Senator Solon asked, why can't they pay it back? Well, just think about the nature of the product. I'm borrowing against my next paycheck. The typical borrower makes somewhere between $25,000 and $50,000. So I'm borrowing against my next paycheck. I'm borrowing $100, $200, $300 under the loophole, who knows, $600, $700. So what is a take-home pay for somebody making $25,000? So you've borrowed against your next paycheck. You come to pay it back. What are you going to do for the next 2 weeks? Take another loan. Same thing over and over and over again. Just finally here, or one before final, you're going to also hear
You're doing so well.
I would have said penultimate, but I don't want to, Anyway. You're going to hear testimony tonight that from another lender who is not here in the state at this time, Advance America. They have a proposal that they believe is appropriate to increase the rates across the board to $15 a hundred. But what that proposal does, I just want to explain what that does in two words. It provides. And the claim is they have great consumer protections in there. So their proposal does two things. It provides weaker consumer protections than Senator Pappas' bill does and doubles the rates for loans over $100. Now, why anybody would think that's a good idea, I really don't know. And my final point is that I want to point out the supporters of this bill. The Minnesota Attorney General, the Minnesota AFL-CIO, Lutheran Social Services, Catholic Charities, Family and Children's Services, the Minnesota Credit Union Network, who had a person who was scheduled to testify, but unfortunately he couldn't make it, Jewish Community Action, ACORN, and the Minnesota Community Action Partnership, community action agencies. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, next, Prentice Cox, who's a professor at the University of Minnesota Law School, is going to talk in more detail about what the legislation does.
Okay. He's hiding, but I know he's back there. Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair, Senator Pappas, I think you've seen my face enough. Good looking. I'm going to talk very briefly about the Sections 1 and 2 of the bill that change the scope and bring the lenders back into 4760 from 4759. And a student attorney in our Consumer Protection Clinic is going to talk very briefly about the additional consumer protections that have been added under this bill. Simply, the existing law provides an authority to lend, but does not require lending to occur under the rate and consumer protection structures in 4760. The proposed bill does two things. The first is it requires every lender except a federally chartered bank or credit union that is making loans to do so under the requirements of 4760. And the second is it changes the definition of a payday loan to encompass the many types of products, including what I would call a faux open-end credit product, so that all the types of products that are out there will be redefined as anything under $600 with a minimum payment of 15% or more of the initial principal balance or credit limit would then be a consumer small loan. So it brings all those products within the definition of 4760, again with the exception of loans by federally chartered banks and credit unions. With that, I'll turn it over to Kari Rudd, who will talk to you briefly about the additional consumer protections in the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Cox. Ms. Rudd, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak about the consumer protections in this bill. As Professor Cox mentioned, my name is Kari Rudd. I'm a student at the University of Minnesota Law School in the Consumer Protection Clinic. I was involved in putting together a report surveying payday lending laws in the 50 states that was delivered to members of the committee. And I was also involved in working on some of the provisions of the bill that I would like to talk about now. The first provision that I would like to talk about is the requirement that contracts be provided to consumers that are borrowing small loans. Right now, consumers need to ask for a contract affirmatively. They're not automatically given one. This would just make sure that everyone gets a contract and that it's in the language in which the loan was negotiated. So making sure that they're able to read the contract. And that would just lay out what the borrower's obligations are when the loan is due and what the lender's obligations are as well. The second protection that I'd like to talk about is the regulation of collection practices under the bill. Right now, under Minnesota law, payday lenders are not subject to the same requirements that collection agencies are. And so under the bill, collectors of payday loans who are collecting their own loans would be required to follow all the same laws that collection agencies are. They wouldn't be able to call people at work, things like that, all the basic protections of Minnesota law that consumers can have when they're dealing with collection agencies. And the final piece that I like to talk about is the private right of action. Currently, under 4760, borrowers aren't able to enforce a violation of the law if they're injured by a violation of the payday lending law. They don't have the ability to pay the time and the fees that it takes to go to court with only a $100 statutory penalty, and it's really unclear under the law how exactly the law is enforced because it references another provision of Minnesota law rather than just including enforcement in the text of 4760. So we just made it a little more clear and also provided an incentive for borrowers to be able to, or we made it possible for borrowers to be able to go to court if they're harmed by a violation of one of the substantive provisions, one of the consumer protections, and not a technical or unintentional error on the part of a lender. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Rudd. Senator Pappas?
So, Mr. Chairman, just in conclusion, the bill basically closes the loophole, the interest rates and the fees, and it gives borrowers a meaningful option to installment payment agreements so they can avoid this debt trap of 21 separate loans a year. And I guess we can step aside. Unless there are questions, we can hear from the other witnesses.
Okay. Questions from the committee. Senator Scogin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Elwood, just, where do you think these clients would go if this wasn't available?
I took your question. Mr. Elwood.
It's going to be there.
Mr. Chair and Senator Scogin, first of all, I think that let me reiterate the point that Senator Hagan's bill would likely shut them down because that's happened in other states where 36% has been applied and they've closed down. Let me reiterate that at least in North Carolina, nobody seemed to care. But this bill does not do that. You will hear that it does. You've probably heard it already. There's no reason they've been lending under this statute since 2001. In 2004, when they were under 4760, they made 179,000 loans. And 20 companies are continuing to make loans under 4760. So this bill does not send people anywhere else but back to the same payday lenders they've been always going to.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Pappas.
I forgot I had an author's amendment, the A5. It's just a tactical amendment. There were a couple errors in the bill. Okay. We could adopt that.
Author that.
Is it author's amendment, or do you want to move it?
Author it.
Okay. Senator Prettner Solnan offers the A5 amendment, and it does look very technical in nature. I'll wait till members have it in their hands, but. Everyone have a copy? All in favor of the Prettner Solnan motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. The amendment is adopted. Thank you. Thank you for your testimony, Senator Pappas. At this point, we would ask the opposition to come forward. I think it would be helpful to members if we kind of focus on there's two bills in front of us. The biggest one, I think, was Senator Higgins dealt with the 36% APR. And Senator Pappas's, it seemed her two main points were to talk about closing the loophole for the Small Loan Act of 1995 and then also the borrower's tool that they would need if they fell into that cycle, which it seemed to me would be the installment. Obviously, there's some more language in there if you want to talk to that, too. But if we could try not to repeat each other, that would help us out, certainly. Brad Wixman, if you'd like to come forward, and then we'll move forward. There's 10 other witnesses after that as well. So welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Chair, Senators. My name is Brad Rixman, and I am the president of Payday America. And thank you for taking the time to listen to us this evening. Payday America is the leading provider of consumer loans to Minnesotans. last year, as Mr. Elwood stated, we provided just over 100,000 loans. Last year was the highest quantity of loans that we've ever provided Minnesotans, so I'm not sure where the figure of 178,000 came from. We are an industrial loan and thrift company, and we're licensed under Chapter 53 of the Minnesota statutes, and we make consumer loans under Minnesota Statute 4759. We operate 13 loan offices in the state. We employ over 50 Minnesota residents and serve over 13,000 Minnesota customers annually. Why does Payday America operate as an industrial loan and thrift and not as a consumer loan lender or small loan lender is quite simply because 4759 offers greater flexibility in the types of the loan products that we can offer Payday America can offer longer-term loans, higher loan amounts, open-ended credit, and secured lending. These types of loans are not available under the Consumer Small Loan Statute. And in exchange for this greater flexibility, Payday America is subject to greater oversight by the Minnesota Department of Commerce and regulatory requirements. We are proud of the low default rate that we experience. I believe that this means that the system is working and that the increased quantity of loans provided proves that there is a great demand for this product. Well, I'm here this evening to ask for you to vote against both Senate File 3197 and 2838, because if these are passed into law, these bills will negatively impact Minnesota consumers. If passed into law, these bills will destroy my business and the business of my similarly regulated competitors. We will stop making these types of loans to Minnesota consumers. In these difficult economic conditions, further restricting access to legal and regulated short-term credit and capital to working-class Minnesotans is simply the wrong thing to do. If passed into law, these bills will not eliminate Minnesotans' need for short-term credit. It will only reduce their legal and regulated options for obtaining that credit. It will force Minnesota consumers to drive across the borders to Wisconsin, North Dakota, South Dakota, and even Iowa, where loan fees are significantly higher. They'll obtain loans over the internet, which is largely and very difficult to regulate and more costly, or turn to illegal and unregulated sources of quick cash. These bills are well-intentioned, but if passed into law, they will hurt the very people that they strive to help. Currently, there are just a few payday lenders in the state of Minnesota. Across the nation, it's estimated that there are 30,000. Why is this? Because the fees that we can charge in Minnesota are so low. Our business has been open since 1999, and we have done what lenders in other states said couldn't be done, as we operate by providing loans which are from 60% to 75% less expensive than if you cross the border in some of the aforementioned states to get the same or a similar product. Because the fees that can be charged on consumer loans is so low, Payday America is a business that we have always we began this business with a very conscious effort of meeting our customer needs by providing ready access to cash for a very low cost. We treat our customers with respect and with professionalism and ensure that our customers have the ability to repay their loans, hence the low default rate. In the Duluth and Superior area, for example, as I'm aware, there is only one lender in Minnesota, which is one of our stores, and across the border in Superior, there are four or five payday lenders. In the Fargo-Moorhead area, there are no lenders in Minnesota, but there are approximately 19 lenders in the Fargo area. The same is true in La Crosse and also in Hudson. Consumer small loans are permitted in 38 states. All of these other states, including our neighbors in Wisconsin, South Dakota, and North Dakota, the internet banks and credit unions charge significantly higher fees and interest. Minnesota has by far the lowest fees and interest in the country. Overall, Payday America's customers are very satisfied with the products and the services that we provide. I've already talked about the low default rate, and we receive very few customer complaints. The few number of defaults and complaints indicate that the current legislative and regulatory system is working fine. I'm fortunate to have a few of our customers that would like to speak with you today about their experiences with our company. And one of our competitors also has a customer that would like to speak as well. So,
thank you for your testimonies. Senator Scogin, before we move on to the next
thank witness. You, Mr. Chair, and I don't know, just so we're all clear, could I indulge you for a quick walkthrough on what the process might be like?
Sure.
Is it Rixma?
Rixman.
Rixman.
Yes, sir.
If my paycheck is $400 a week, $500 a week, let's say $500 a week, and I come in and want a payday loan, can I get a $500
no.
loan? How much can I get?
Well, excuse me, I should probably ask my district manager to step up here, and she can assist me.
I just want everybody to be clear on how it works. When we
okay.
Come
right. I think this would be helpful.
Right.
That's fine.
Well, I believe on a, excuse me. Mr. Chair, this is
Nancy Werskilla. I'm the district manager. Hello. So your question is, if you come in with a $500 paycheck, can you get a $500 loan? And
yes.
The answer is no.
How much can I get?
That would be dependent. We have a qualifying process. It takes into account different things. Amongst them, obviously, is going to be your net income. We don't go by gross, as some other lenders would do. We look at your net, and we make sure that we're not going to give you more money than you can handle paying back.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Scogin.
If I say we arrived at a $260 amount, how do you secure that loan?
Ms. Rascella.
Either you would leave us a post-dated check, or we would use a post-dated bank draft, so that if for some reason you couldn't come back in or you called us and said, I can't make it in, can you put my check through the bank, we could do that.
Senator Scogin.
Would that post-dated check include the fees?
Yes.
Ms. Rascella, it does include the fees.
Yes.
So
mm-hmm.
Now maybe
Senator
I'm
Scogin.
Leaving you a $320 check.
No.
Give me a.
Well, you would be probably leaving me with about a $290 check.
Okay. Do most people allow you then to deposit that check at the end of the term, or do they come in and pay that?
Some do and some don't. It's some will call us and say, "Hey, can you just throw it through the bank? I'm not coming back." Some of them will say, "I'd like to come back and see you." Some of them, some don't call at all.
And then you deposit it.
Mm-hmm.
If the check is no good, what is your procedure for recovery?
Ms. Rascella.
We have a collections department. They would call the customer, or the customer would call the store and call them and set up payment arrangements, and that's, they would come up with a payment plan.
Senator Scogin.
At some point, is my credit affected?
Ms.
Credit?
Rascella?
No.
And then maybe the final one just on the procedure, Mr. Chair, if you would. Senator Metzen, you broke my concentration.
Why would that be? What effect do I have?
I'll leave it at that, but I can't remember what I was
asking. Senator Dahl.
Mr. Chair, Ms. Rascella, do you have regular customers then that you see monthly?
Ms. Rascella?
I suppose we do have some that come back
Mr.
regularly. I'm the district manager, so I don't really, okay. I don't work in the stores per se anymore on a daily basis.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for your help. Mr. Wixman, did you want to bring up the testifiers? Just wants to work off the list, or? I don't know if they're all your customers or...
Whatever is your pleasure.
Okay. Let's bring, maybe we could bring three up at a time and kind of have you tell us a little bit. I have Janice Brumlow, Joel Mazurek, and Kareen Hull, I'm sorry. Just introduce yourself to the committee, please.
My name is Janice Brumlow. I live in Maplewood. I'm a 47-year-old single parent. and I took care of my 87-year-old mother until she passed away 4 months ago. I worked 2 jobs 6 months out of the year and 3 jobs the other 6 months out of the year. And when my mother passed away, it put a very heavy burden on me financially to take care of everything here. And I checked a couple banks that would not give me loans because I had bad credit from a divorce that I had gone through and had to file bankruptcy because of. I was on my feet again, but because of the bankruptcy, they turned me down. So I had no place to go but out on the street. And a neighbor told me about Payday America. I went there, and they gave me a loan that secured us for the 2 weeks that I needed the money. And I went back, and I paid the loan off. And I was okay for a few months, and then with the death of my mother, I had to go back again. I didn't have to deal with banks that won't give me anything. The credit union that I belonged to wouldn't give me a loan. Payday America did not hesitate. And I'm still living in my home today. And I really believe that if I had not gotten a loan from them, I would be out on the street right now. Myself and my daughter both. So as far as the fees, they're saying that you go over and over and it builds up and builds up. Both. All the times I've been there, I've taken out a $500 loan every time.
No.
I looked in my checkbook just before I came up here. My payback was $531.44. So for a $500 loan, I paid $31.44. And to me, that's worth staying in my home and not living out on the street. And I do work hard for a living, or I wouldn't have 2 and 3 jobs. And right now I'm still struggling, but I have no family. I have no one to turn to. So I'm glad they're there. And if they're going away, I don't know where I'm going to turn. I have nowhere to go.
Thank you, Ms. Brumlow, for sharing your story.
My name is Corinne Hull. I lost my husband 2 years ago, and a friend of mine at work told me about them. I went over to see them. They helped me out. I was had a small problem with my rent. I didn't have anything to back up with for my husband. He didn't have any pension or nothing. So therefore, I was back on my rent. They helped me with my rent and also with my car. And I've had them about 3 or 4 times, and then the 2 years, and they've helped me all the time. So with them, I don't know what I'd do if I didn't have them. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hall. Welcome.
Good evening. I'm the last gentleman to testify on behalf of Payday America. My case is a little different. I was shot.
Sir, could you just give us your name for the record?
Oh, please? Yes, sir. My name is Joel Mazurek.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. I was shot. Still have the bullet in my skull here, back, of course, in 72. I have medical issues. Couldn't make ends meet one month and went to Payday America, got the medicine that I needed. Hey, and for not bad of a payback amount, you know, could have went to Scalpers and had to pay quite a bit more. Unfortunately, my last name isn't Kennedy or Hughes, so I have to resort to these kind of issues. It's not a bad deal, and I hope they stay because of the payback plan. And that's my story, and thank you.
Thank you. Senator Scogin.
Sir, if you don't mind, thank
Hang
you.
On just a minute, Mr.
Yes, sir.
If you don't mind, could you tell me how much you borrowed and what the fees were?
Yes.
Mr. Mazurek?
Yes. It was $325, and my payback was $27 for a 3-week period, which wasn't too bad.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing your story. Mr. Wixman, do you have a few more people? There's a few more on the list. I don't know how many more you'd like to bring forward, but maybe like another 10 minutes.
Kirk?
Welcome to the committee, sir.
Good evening, and thank you, Mr. Chair and Senators. My name is Kirk Williams. I'm from Mendota Heights, Minnesota, born and raised St. Paul, Minnesota. Just to give you a snapshot and to be sensitive to time, by profession, I'm a salesman, and I derive my income from base salary and commissions. Since September 11th, I have noticed a considerable drop in my commissions in terms of, well, just to give you a little bit more background, I'm a grandfather, half a century old. I have children raised in St. Paul. I take medication for high blood pressure. When I find and have found where ends just aren't making it, we know how unforgiving a stroke is. If I absolutely am out of money, I've tapped my credit lines, I've gone to Payday America. The service has been fantastic. They're courteous. The facilities are clean. The cost for the money that I needed to cover my ends are minuscule compared to how it helped. I've been around the corner. I've been around. I've seen recessions. I've never seen one like this in all the years I've been here. If this went away, you're talking about a large percentage of Minnesotans who are going to do what to cover their ends. I'm not sure what they would do. I know what I've done, and I know that I would never hesitate to use them again. I would not hesitate.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Any questions of the committee? We do want to give an opportunity. Is there someone from Duluth here, a Miss Kiva? If she drove all the way, we certainly.
I'm sorry, she couldn't make it.
Okay. And then, was there anyone else that would want to testify? I know we have some more on the bottom, but is that?
I think that might be it, unless
okay.
We have some of our.
I know we wanted Patricia Grillo, and yeah, okay. If some of those people would like to come forward. Thank you for sharing your stories. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. My name is Stuart Tapper, and I am the Vice President of Unloan. We are licensed as an industrial loan and thrift in the state of Minnesota with 7 locations. I am also the president of the Minnesota Financial Service Centers. We represent approximately 30 licensees under the industrial loan and thrift, as well as some under 4760. we employ approximately 30 people in our add-on loan, in that part of our company. We offer full benefits, medical, we offer dental, we offer a 401k plan. We take good care of our employees. But I do want to go into a little bit about, first of all, a typical transaction that to answer Senator Scogin's some of his issues. We have, our underwriting skills and our underwriting abilities. When you brought up the example of a $500 loan, a $500 paycheck. If someone came in with a net paycheck of $500, at Unloan, they would qualify for about 25% of that, no more than that. We don't like to exceed 25% of their income. We believe that with other bills that they have, we want to make sure that they have the ability to pay it back with some money left over, because we know that if you take their entire check, there's going to be absolutely no way they can make it to the next paycheck. That example, it would be approximately 25% and no more. There are some other issues that would go into the underwriting which would make it potentially less, depending on the bank balance and some other issues. But it would not exceed that amount. And, again, typically a two-week period. We have been licensed since 2003, maybe 2004, as industrial loan and thrift, and for some different reasons. First of all, there was more flexibility under 4759 as a lending under 4759. It gave us some more options to operate our business. We have the potential later on to get into mortgages if we so desire. There's also a we can take deposits. We can do some other variety of things that under 4760 would not be available to us. We also believe that as an industrial loan and thrift, there's much more oversight from the Department of Commerce than there is under 4760. For instance, as an industrial loan and thrift, we have certain capital requirements that are not there for companies that are operating under 4760. There are loss ratios, reserves for losses, that, again, are not there under 4760. I would like now to introduce Pat Cirillo, who is a market researcher who's done a lot of research on this product. She will give you a little bit about her background, but she is what I would consider to be an expert on this product and one of the experts across the country on this product. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tim. Ms. Grillo, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. My name is Pat Cirillo. I am president and chief statistician of Cypress Research Group. We're headquartered in Beechwood, Ohio. I'm a statistician by training, and one of my specialties is to study the what we call the LMI market, the low and moderate income market, with a focus on financial services available to them and the choices they make. My job is to understand all of the products that these consumers have option available to them and the options that they take and the reasons for that. I do believe very strongly that what's best for the consumer, I have a consumer focus, is best for both the state and for the industry in the long term. Again, I am interested in the LMI financial services market as well as other markets that I study, and I've done either authored, co-authored, participated in, or consulted on dozens of studies now, including over 10,000 interviews, both on a national basis and in specific states. I've been in the Minnesota for a couple of days now, learning about your current market, your laws, and how your market is shaking out. And I just wanted to throw out a couple observations first. The most apparent thing to me as I started to understand your law a little bit better is that you have a very restrictive law now when it comes to interest rates. Very restrictive. In other states where we see actually higher nominal rates, you don't see a large number of payday loan providers, and you don't have a lot of payday loan providers in this state in comparison to others. Studies are pretty clear that about 5% of the population have gotten and obtained a payday loan sometime in their adult history. I did some quick math using your numbers, and only 0.4%. Not 4%, but 0.4% of your population fall into that category. So you've got a very low usage rate compared to other states. In comparison, it looks like you've got about 30 or 40 storefronts in the state compared to 2,400 in the state of California. Now, California has a few more people than Minnesota does, but that just gives you a ballpark estimation of how much smaller your market is. Consumer folks would argue that that's a restrictive market, and access is already pretty restricted. And so my knee-jerk reaction to any lowering of the interest rate is I worry about it going away because I'm not an accountant, I'm not a finance person, and I haven't looked at the books of payday loan establishments. But there are a lot of economic studies which have looked at the industry. Even at an 18% nominal rate, which is the national average, we see return rates pretty much on par with the rest of the financial services industry. And so when I look at your rates, I just wonder if you're hovering right there at the edge of operability for the operators and going any lower. I would guess, if I had to guess, I would guess that they would stop offering loans. A good evidence of that is 36%, it was already testimony to, is prohibition, that the lenders immediately stop providing loans. And that's true for military also. Just a study I brought with me. I promise I won't read it because it's a little thick. This was introduced, actually released today, State of California, which has now seen an increased number of complaints about payday lenders who are not providing loans to the military. So we have members of the military who are complaining that they can't get payday loans, and that's the first time we've seen that, those sorts of complaints. It's understand, and it, this has already been alluded to, it is important to look at this product within the milieu that the consumers are making decisions. They basically have four choices if they need short-term unsecured loans. One is to let bills be late on purpose. That happens to be the most popular choice in this country. There are repercussions to that. One is that your credit rating takes a ding, sometimes a major ding. And the more recent phenomenon is that you pay late fees. Those late fees have increased 3 to 4 times in the past 10 years. And the second choice is to bounce checks on purpose or invoke overdraft protection. Those fees have also multiplied 3 or 4 times in the past 10 years. And those two phenomenons, the increased usage of credit scoring to affect all of our costs, and the increased cost of what is essentially the competition of payday loans, has resulted in, it's a direct correlation, in the rise of the use of payday loans. In other words, payday loans competition is now weaker because it's far more expensive. Real quick, I wanted to clear up that University of North Carolina study was talked about. It's important to understand that that's a general population survey. It's not a survey of borrowers. It's a survey of the general population. And it's interesting because 5% of the folks thought that they were worse off without payday loans in their community, and sure enough, 5% of the people nationally turned out to use payday lending. So it's important to understand that that is not of borrowers. Only 27 people in that study were borrowers, which, lo and behold, is about 5% of the sample. Okay, and there have been studies that have looking at North Carolina and Georgia, where payday loans have been basically removed from the state. And we are seeing, as we would predict, increased number of bounce checks and late bills and the like, which is exactly what we would expect based on what consumers tell us. There are a number of other statistics. I won't spout them all out for you. So I have expressed my concern about the interest rate, but I will lend support to the notion of a repayment plan. We researchers are looking at this very closely. There are a number of us. Some of us are industry researchers like me, and some of us are academics. We're all working together looking at the data, and a repayment plan does make sense. We are worried about that person who does come back after 2 weeks and, really, honest to God, doesn't have the $300. And a repayment plan is the solution to that problem for that particular borrower. And the jury is still out. We are still looking at the data to see whether or not that is impacting borrowing behavior, but it certainly stands to reason. That's it. I won't go on anymore, but I'm certainly available for questions if anybody has them. Thank you for your time.
Senator Scogin.
Mr. Rillo, maybe you said it and I didn't catch it. Does any state offer a repayment plan?
Oh, yes, a few of them do. Off the top of my mind, Colorado does, Washington State does. It's a fairly new phenomenon, so we don't have enough months of data yet in correlation to borrower behavior, so we're not sure how many people are getting it, how many people aren't. The Colorado statute is a little bit older, but there are some other things that have impacted that, so we're having trouble teasing out the apples and oranges there.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair.
Senator Scogin.
Typically, is that set up on the initial loan or when they realize they can't pay back the initial loan?
Mr. Chairman, it is generally communicated in the stores that is available to them, but in my studies that I have looked at, it is not expressly communicated to them until the loan is due.
And then is there an additional fee?
Mr. Chairman, is there additional fee in those states? No.
And then one question for Mr. Tapper, and I'll yield to the rest of the committee. Is 25% typical in your business in Minnesota?
Mr. Tapper?
I can't speak for any other companies. I can tell you that's the underwriting that we use.
Is that net or gross?
It's 25% of their net.
Thank you.
Paycheck.
Thank you. Further questions of the committee? Senator Dodd.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Cirillo, is that study you have over there about California?
Yes, it's
Mr.
about
Cirillo.
Mr. Chairman, this is a study.
Are they considering also limiting or prohibiting payday lending?
Mr. Chairman, I can't speak to that. I just know that the legislator ordered a study because it's regulated by the Department of Corporations, and it was just a review of the industry.
Senator Dahl.
Mr. Chair, why do you think 13 states and maybe California and Minnesota are considering limiting or prohibiting payday lending, in your expert opinion?
Ms. Rillo.
Mr. Chairman, I would say that the biggest concern people have are the repeat borrowers. And my experience has been that the assumption is that using the 36% APR is a reasonable solution to that. And what that has resulted in has been prohibition, which I think isn't, from the states that I've been in, that has been an unintended repercussion.
Thank you very much. Pat Martin and Remy Stone are our last two witnesses. If they could come up and be rather brief, we're trying to keep it pretty close to 35 to 40 minutes for each, and we want to have give Senator Pappas some time to respond. Senator Pretner-Solik.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I've been waiting to hear from somebody who might be a victim, who is, I mean, I'd like to talk to somebody who, why there needs to be a change in the law.
Right, okay. Hopefully we can get to that, but well, welcome to the committee. Mr. Martin?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, we decided I'd go first and he'd go last. But if that's okay, we're just trying to organize here. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name's Remy Stone. I work for Advance America, the nation's largest payday lender. We do not operate in Minnesota. We operate in every single surrounding state. We are some of those stores that are operating in Fargo and in Hudson and in Superior and in La Crosse. And we do know that we have several Minnesota license plates to come up to our stores. Mr. Chairman and members, I want to point out a couple of things to you, and then I'll turn it over to Pat. It's my understanding that, you know, our proposal has been brought to your attention, and he'll talk a little bit about that. But what I just wanted to share with you is, first and foremost, I handed out to everybody a little piece here called Mr. Cash Advance. Mr. Cash Advance is a dating service for people looking for cash advance online. It helps people find sources in other states and offshore. You had a question about what happens to people. Don't pretend that if you pass a 36% APR or if you contract Minnesota's current statute, payday lending statute, that you make the demand go away. Even these charts show to you what's going on with short-term unsecured credit. The demand is growing. What they do is they go offshore, they go across the borders, or they go underground. Mr. Chairman, the other thing that I wanted to mention to you just in passing is there have been a couple of comments made about what happened in North Carolina. In North Carolina, Ms. Cirillo, who hit on that briefly, but one of the other things that we've discovered is that they've had more utility service disruptions, the bounce checks, and more bankruptcies. Just so you have a balanced understanding about the fact that actually people really did feel the fact that payday lending was chased out of that state. Your attention was drawn to a thing called the Columbus Dispatch article. I want you to know that the whistleblowers in this case were convicted felons who forged their Social Security numbers to get jobs, just so you know that that's part of the credibility that we're using here. And finally, Mr. Chairman, specifically to Senator Pappas's bill, we all know that the 36% bill of Senator Higgins would put the industry out. It's a prohibition bill. In regard to Senator Pappas's bill, three things. You know, I'll just do two things. One, we're flattered that the extended payment plan is in there. Extended payment plans is a plan that's offered voluntarily by the industry. It's our initiative. We do it as a matter of corporate citizenship. It's something that we support. We don't support the way that it's drafted in this bill, particularly because of the disclosure language that's in there. It's very one-sided. The second piece is the 21-day cooling off period. What that says is if you're paid once every 2 weeks, you can get a payday loan 10 times a year. If you're paid once a month, you can get a payday loan 7 times a year. Not only does that smack of inequity, but it also begs the question, when the government get into the business of telling people how many times they can have a financial emergency, use their credit cards, bounce checks, or take out a cash advance at the next paycheck. Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to stand for any questions.
Thank you very much, Ms. Stone. Mr. Martin?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Pat Martin, and I'm representing the Consumer Financial Services of America. I know that the hour is very late, so I'll be exceedingly brief, but I need to tell you just why this law passed in 1995 and what was behind the passage of this law. I promise I won't go any further back to talk about the Phoenicians or the Sumerians or the Assyrians and their lending practices. This is only about Minnesota in 1995. And the reason this law was passed was because the Department of Commerce had ascertained that these loans and these amounts were no longer available in Minnesota. So they passed this law, and as Senator Metzen indicated earlier in the hearing, nobody else really wants to do these loans. So they decided to come to the legislature and ask for an authorization, and they did so. Now, the truth of the matter is that the market has constricted in terms of lenders making these loans over the years. But the essential point for you to hear is that the alternatives to this industry making these loans is basically underground banking and loan sharking. And I was talking about the VIG and the interest rates that are charged by less admirable and responsible and non-licensed folks. And the collection practices are much different than under the law. So that's just the history of the law. I'd also like to make a comment that the product has grown explosively, and I wanted to just suggest that that's part of the reason why other states are looking at it, because there are hundreds of thousands of these loans being made in many of these states. I could go on to suggest that the default rate that was testified to earlier at 1.8. Yep, Minnesotans take out these loans in large numbers, and God bless them, they pay it back. A 1.8% default rate. Any industry in the lending world would like to have that default rate today. Okay, that's about enough. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members.
Thank you very much, Mr. Martin. Any further questions? Senator Pappas, to come back. And while she's coming, Senator Solon, there was a letter, I guess, someone that couldn't make it that was a victim. I don't know if you got a chance to see that. It was in members'
packet. I need a chance to testify.
You didn't, sir?
I'm on the list. Yeah, I need a chance if you can.
Okay. All right. Welcome to the committee. Could you keep your comments somewhat brief, sir?
Sure. Good evening, Mr. Chair and committee. My name is Scott Bennett. I'm owner-operator of Your Exchange Check Cashing. We operate under the 4760. I have five locations in the north suburbs of Minneapolis. I started my business in 2001, adding an ancillary service of small lender loans around 2004. I offer it purely as an additional service to my customers, and I do want to represent my customers, knowing that a lot of people do have a misunderstanding of our industry, and understanding that we do provide a service to the community as well, and our numbers will show. I do feel that I do provide a service to my customers, and I'm there for them when they need it. I also want to make sure that we do, and we are in business to have happy customers. That is our overall goal. If we do eliminate and add this bill, I will not be offering the service of the 4760 to my customers, for the fact it just is not worth it for me. And in my industry currently, it is an ancillary service, but I do feel the need, and I do see the need. And I just don't want people to misrepresent or misunderstand why our customers use these services. You know, purely for the fact that they will have other penalties if they do not have the service, which we've talked about, NSF checks, late charges, so on and so forth. With that being said, I just wanted my voice to be heard.
Thank you, Mr. Bennett. I apologize to have you on my initial list, but
no problem. I apologize for not speaking up
prior.
That's
okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for your testimony.
Mr. Chairman, just briefly, I wanted to mention that we did have a witness during the hearing in the other body, but that people are really embarrassed when they get stuck into this loan cycle. They're really embarrassed to come and talk about it publicly because they kind of feel like it's their own fault, and it's kind of sad. They are really victims in this case. I also wanted to mention that we have been in discussions with some of the payday lenders on a compromise, and that I think could still happen so that we could make some progress on this issue but respond to their concerns. And then for the witnesses that testified with Payday America, I wanted to mention that you know, coming in and talking about your need and you borrowed, you know, you borrowed loans once or twice or three or four times, remember, statistically, these are the exceptions, that most people borrow multiple times. And so, for example, just to look at the math for a minute, if you take out a $260 loan and you pay $30, okay, but if you take out that loan five times, then you're paying $180. And if you take out that loan 12 times, then you're paying $360 on a $260 loan. And if you take out that loan 20 times on a $260 loan, you're paying $600 in fees. So that's really the problem. It sounds like no big deal if it's just one loan. If it's just one loan, maybe that is no big deal. And maybe there is a role. There is a role. Not maybe. There is a role for these payday lenders. But it's the repeated being in the trap of multiple loans that we're trying to limit here.
Mr. Chair?
Mr. Elwood, I'm sorry.
And Mr. Chair and committee members, just a couple of points. I think your last testifier actually tells you why Senator Pappas's bill needs to be passed, because he is lending under 4760. He's been doing it. He can continue to do it. I think if Senator Higgins' bill is passed, he was saying that would put him out of business. But Senator Pappas's bill, he would be able to continue to lend, as are many other competitors to that are lending under 4760. Check Trek in rural Minnesota has made 96,000 loans since 1999. S&P has made 68,000 loans since 2000. Express Payday Loans have made 25,000 loans since 2000. Bennett Ventures have made 11,000 loans since 2000. Money Exchange have made 11,000 loans since 2000. And Checks R Us have made 10,000 loans since 2000. These are all under 4760. They continue to lend today. Payday America, under 4760, lent 178, that made 178,000 loans under 4760. Since they went under the other statute, they've made less. Where did that information come from, they asked? I'll tell you where that came from. It came from their own reports that they filed with the Department of Commerce. All right. Another testifier suggested there are no lending outlets in Moorhead. Well, the fact of the matter is, since 2002, there have been 18,000 payday loans made in Moorhead, Minnesota. There were 202 in 2002 and 10,000 in 2006. The other point I'd like to make is that folks said there are only a couple of choices if there are no loans, and they were all bad. Well, actually, that's not true. Here are the choices people can make. Friends, families, working with creditors, and actually maybe using their credit cards, many have access of payday borrowers. And let me just point out, your credit card rate is somewhere, let's just say it's 18%, and compare that with 390% under the current law, or 685% under the others. And I think we have some points about how we compare to other states.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, again, my name is Kari Rudd. Thank you for allowing me to talk about this. You all received a copy of this 50-state summary chart that was prepared by the Consumer Protection Clinic at the University of Minnesota. This was delivered to your offices a few weeks ago. And I have a few more copies if anybody needs another one. But I just want to point out that there was a comment that Minnesota has some of the lowest fees already charged to payday lenders, and that's actually not true. Minnesota charges the same fees as 18 other states on loans of $100, and for loans of greater than that, there's also states that charge lower fees than Minnesota does. For example, on a $200 loan, Minnesota charges $19 in fees, and Maine only charges $15. And on a $300 loan, Minnesota charges $23, and Texas charges $16 only. And I'd like to point out that 15 states have much lower APR caps or completely ban payday lending outright. And among the states that charge higher, that allow higher charges, Minnesota is one of those.
Okay. We're done, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Senator Metzen.
Yeah, I just think that we might be hurting the people that we're trying to help here. You know, there's a need out there, and those $300 to $800 loans, and somebody mentioned, well, that's 18%. Well, on the credit card, it's not 18% if you get the late fee of $40 and $50, which is going to be tacked on to the 18%. So it's even more interest than you're paying on the kinds of loans that are permitted today. So there are a lot of people hurting out there. I understand that. But at the same token, like Senator Prentner Solar or somebody said about the car breaking down, and you don't have any options. These people don't have any options. And so I think, Senator Pappas, you might have mentioned it, but I think this is kind of work in progress. And you even mentioned a little while ago that you'd probably want to keep working on it. So I think we're a little premature here to, in my judgment, to pass this out, hurt some of the people that we think we're helping, you know. Again, some folks have nowhere else to go. I don't know where they can go. The banks aren't going to do it. The credit unions aren't going to do it. I don't know. And nobody likes high rates, but and these,
Chairman,
by and large, these people aren't stupid people either. They know what they're doing.
Mr. Chairman.
They're told that what's going on when they make the transaction. It's up front, and they're not silly people. They're not stupid. They understand it, but the need is there. So I don't know. We help people all the time. I guess we try to help them, but sometimes we're really not helping them.
Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, I want to mention again that we understand that this needs to be an option for some people, and we're not trying to close down payday lenders. We're trying to close down the loophole where they're able to charge excessive fees over and above what they are allowed to charge under 4760, the Consumer Small Loan Act. We have many, many businesses who are following the intent of the law and operating under the Consumer Small Loan Act. We just want to close down the loophole and allow for installment payments, which a bunch of the lenders mentioned they thought was a good idea, and they do it anyway. So we want to make sure they all do it.
All right. You're right. I think that's important to note, Senator Pappas. I think that most of them did say that they kind of gave you that tool of the installment thing, which would be a good thing. So we'll continue to focus on that. Senator Marty.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Metzen, I've been traveling around the state with the Poverty Commission, and there are a lot of low-income people, and they're not stupid, but they're desperate. They're very often desperate, and this one thing for 2 weeks is great. But then 2 weeks later and two more weeks and two more weeks, I was thinking about that as I think maybe Senator Pappas or one of her witnesses pointed out, but all the people who had used the service who testified here today, sounded like they took out one or two loans under it, maybe three or four or five. And when they say that 90% take out five or more per year, and a quarter of them take out 21 or more per year, in effect, they're just permanently borrowing the money at that rate. And I just think that that's 300% rate of return for APR when somebody's doing that. That's enough.
Now, don't do it then.
I understand that, but I'm saying when you're desperate and this is the option, but again, the 4760 companies, again, like the one guy who testified a few minutes ago, they're in business operating under that. And if they all operate under that same section of law with the same standards, I think that's appropriate. I think Senator Pappas's bill is an appropriate way to crack down on some of the abuses and still leave people the option for a thing we hope they don't use very often, because it is a debt trap for people.
Chairman, a small analogy, and I tried to make this point earlier. I was happened to be old enough to remember when the usury laws in Minnesota were 8%, and nationwide they were 9 and 10. And I facetiously said on the House floor, nobody wants to pay the 9, or nobody wanted to pay the 10 at that time of history. And our rates were at 8. But what happened is there was no money available for a couple of years for home loans in Minnesota, because they were 9 to 10% nationwide. So none of the money came here. So I stood up on the House floor and I said, if eight's so sacred, let's make it four. Because there's no money now at eight. Let's make it four and be real good to our consumers. And I didn't want to pay the nine, but people wanted to buy homes at that time. So take the eight to four. Then there's really no money available. You're fencing out people, Senator, that need this dough.
Senator Marty.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Metzen, I think we just heard that from the one company that's not loaning here, they're saying, oh, there are all these lenders in Fargo and none in Moorhead. All these lenders in Hudson, but not our side of the river. And then we hear Senator Pappas points out that there are plenty of those operating under Chapter 4760. They are operating there. The money is available that way. And at a certain point, I mean, like the one guy who sent the letter in, he said if this is going to, if 400% a year is going to drive people out of the state, well, he said, and I'm not saying he's speaking for everyone, but he said good riddance. And I think the point is that we are trapping people in poverty. We're trapping them deeper and deeper in debt. And the witnesses they brought are people who used it once or twice, which is what should be allowed and what would be allowed still under this bill.
Well, Mr. Chairman, they set up and they like what's going on, and you're telling them that they don't know what's going on, it sounds to me.
I'm saying, though, Mr. Chairman, Senator Metzen, I'm saying those that are 21 times in a year, which a quarter of the borrowers are doing when they're paying multiple times what their debt is, I mean, that doesn't give them a chance. I mean, when you're making $8 an hour, it's kind of hard to get out of the rut. And I'm just saying that we take the loophole out and bring it back to the way it used to be for them. It's not unreasonable. People are still lending at that kind of rate.
You know, you can deal with the whole audience here, too. You know?
I was talking to you, though.
That makes it too personal.
No, I'm sorry. I don't mean to do that.
I mean, you don't.
Yeah,
that's. Well, Chairman,
Senator Metzen.
I'd like to see a little more work done, but maybe that's just my opinion.
Mr. Chair.
She agreed to look at it a little longer. I think Senator Pappas said she'd look at it.
Right. Mr. Chairman?
Senator Pappas.
I believe we've been referred to, we've been requested to go to Senator Moi's committee, the Judiciary Committee. So we do have another stop. And we certainly can continue. We had discussions last night and discussions today with some of the lenders. We've come up with some creative ideas. We're hoping that they'll come up with some creative ideas. But the goal is really to get the payday lenders under 4760. That's really important. We need to alter 4760 to make it more workable for them. We can do that.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Prentner-Solon.
My question is of Senator Pappas, that I would be willing to offer your bill and support it. But I, as long as you're going to continue to work on it as you move it on to judiciary, I just don't know if you feel like you want to do that tonight or if you want to lay it over tonight.
Senator Pappas, and I know that Senator Scheid wanted to be a part of this discussion as well, but
she must be tied up in judiciary. unfortunately, this is the deadline, the committee deadline. It hasn't met the deadline in the House. So it's the nature of the fast legislative session. But we certainly can consult with Senator Scheid, and we can let you know how things go. Senator Prentner-Solon.
Okay. Mr. Chair.
Senator Prentner-Solon.
I move that Senate File 3197 as amended be recommended to pass and re-referred to Judiciary.
Further discussion on Senator Prentner-Solon's motion. It was amended too, as you said.
Yeah.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No.
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 Motion prevails.
Chairs in doubt. All those in favor, raise your hand. Opposed? The motion does not prevail.
Do we move to probably table it to keep it alive?
Mr. Chair, I move the bill be forward to the Judiciary Committee without recommendation.
Can you table the higher motion? I'll move to table it. Can I do that? Is that a higher motion?
Yes.
Is that debatable?
No. Senator Metzen moves to table the bill. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No. Oh. No.
I think I know where that one was at. Anyways, the motion was not adopted.
We need Madam Chair.
Try yours again.
Mr. Chair, I'll move mine again. I'll renew the motion that we forward to the Judiciary Committee without recommendation, as amended.
On Senator Marty's motion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
No. We'll sit here a little longer.
How about new motions?
Mr. Chair, are we going to meet again before Friday?
We'll meet Thursday morning. That's what we were trying to talk about. If we table it, I think it would give Senator Pappas some time to compromise on the payment plan.
Can we just lay it over?
Lay it over to Thursday.
Oh, that's what I thought I was doing.
You were tabling.
Just lay it on.
You want to lay on the table?
Just lay on the table and adjourn for the night.
Bring back the
phone. You don't even need a vote on that.
Nope.
You can just lay it on the table.
All right. Okay. We'll lay Senate file 3197 on the table and bring it back hopefully Thursday. Same thing. Yeah, let's lay both the bills over on the table. Okay. Any other business?
Please adjourn.
That's it, folks. We'll meet again on Thursday. The meeting is adjourned.
Okay. Well, we'll see you tomorrow.
See, I get to think about it all the way home.
I guess I'm supposed to see somewhere else Thursday morning.
Hey, here you go. We need everybody here. Bet this thing on.
Huh?
Oh.
Where's the Republicans?
Yes.
There you go. Well, Vanderbilt would have been all on the table.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Copy that. I'm serious.
That California
would be a state survey.
We'll see what I come up with.
I do. I would want it. I like it.
I don't know if I've ever gotten it.
Senator Scogin wants one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I got one.
You got your pieces? If not, we usually keep them. So you can do some.
Two. Well, you mean.
Thanks, Senator. Yeah, absolutely. Nate, you're totally safe. I've got this.
I can help.
No, for real. It's so easy. This is the quickest way possible.
Well, I can help.
Oh,
I got my easels are still up. I got it.
Well, you are responsible.
I don't know where they go after this, though.
I'll just call Nick in the sergeant's office.
Get tabled in the free back.